This is Alicia, and welcome to the College Life Podcast. I am super passionate about education, personal development, growth, and bringing out the best in every college student. This podcast will help motivate you, empower you, and bring you clarity and confidence in who you are, in your purpose, and help you take action toward a life you love. Don't wait until you graduate to live your best life. Let's start now. Welcome to the College Life Podcast. It's Alicia here, and today I am interviewing Angie Gaffney. She is a film producer, entrepreneur, and current life coach. So if you are interested in entrepreneurship, film, or nonprofit work, this is the episode for you. Make sure that you listen all the way through because I promise you it is totally worth it. She gives so much golden nuggets, I think, that you can take away from this episode. So I hope that you enjoy it, and let's go ahead and get started. Welcome to the College Life Podcast. It's Alicia here, and today I have with me Angie Gaffney, and I'm super excited. We kind of connected on social media, and I just was really excited to hear her story today and share it with you all. So Angie, why don't you get started and share us a little, just tell a little bit about kind of your journey to college and then leading up to where you're at now working professionally.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me, Alicia. Glad to connect.
Yeah, of course.
I'm really excited to be here. I actually grew up in Boulder, Colorado. So it was really cool to see that you're at CU. My entire family went to CU except for me. So black sheep, you know, scorned, all that jazz. My experience going into college was kind of an interesting one. We lived in a lot of different houses growing up, and mostly it was in Boulder and a couple houses early on in Lyons. And I started early on, I kind of had a dual lifestyle, I would say, throughout middle school and high school. I played highly competitive softball for like 6 to 8 months out of the year. And then the other half of the year, I did musical theater and professional theater. So it was kind of this weird dichotomy of sports and teamwork and this intense physical training with a lot of storytelling and emotional work and musicality. And I'm so grateful for it because it was such a rounding experience for me. You know, but I came to the end of high school. I went to Boulder High, which is at the base of CU. Shout out, Panthers, the Panthers. I came to the end of high school and I was just burnt out on like both things. I was totally fried. I was like, screw theater. I don't want to go to school for theater. And I was like, I'm certainly not going to school for softball. Because what careers are there in either of those when I graduate? So I was like, well, I guess, you know, I'll apply for communications. And I applied to 5 colleges, DePaul, Emerson, Tulane, San Fran State, I believe, and Columbia College in Chicago. I was fortunate to get into all of them. And then I kind of visited a few, and I really fell in love with the city of Chicago. My mom's from Illinois, so I had some familiarity with it. And I was like, wow, like, I love DePaul because it feels like there's a little campus in a city as well. And I really saw all the opportunity in the city for me. And so I chose DePaul. They gave me some money. So that always helps, you know, yeah, Motivate the the discussion. And I graduated from DePaul in 2013, summa cum laude, with actually a BA in digital cinema, which is DePaul's fancy way of saying film school. And I am still in the film entrepreneurial space today.
Yeah. So what are you working on right now in life?
In life? It's always a new thing. What am I not working on? There's a lot going on in life. So currently it'll be 10 years next year that my film production company, Black Apple Media, has been open and running. So we shot 2 feature films last year. I'm a producer, a film producer now, an entrepreneur and life coach. if those are my current titles, who knows what they'll be tomorrow. But I shot two feature films last year around this time, and they're both in post. So we anticipate they'll hit the festival circuits this fall or early next year. One is called Monuments and one is called Killing Eleanor. So be on the lookout, folks. And then I run an organization that I'm the co-founder of called Stage 18, which is a shared workspace and incubator for independent filmmakers. And I'm also training to be a life coach, which has been a wonderful, fascinating journey that I love very much. What else? I used to teach at Columbia College. I've taught at DePaul. I currently teach at Harold Ramis Film School. I teach producing, which is Second City's film school. So I'm all about continuing education and raising the next generation.
Seriously, I can tell.
And then I feel like I had another significant thing to say, but I lost, fun fact. So before I graduated, I was actually hired as the executive producer of The Onion, which is a magazine or news organization that a few of you may know, to develop their branded content agency, which does advertising and creative videos. So that was fun. So it's been a wild ride.
Seriously, you've done already so much. And so you've been out of college for what, 6 years now? And you've already accomplished
so much. I know, I will. So I will turn 28 this month. Yeah,
yeah, that's incredible. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And I would just, let's go back all the way back to when you were picking colleges and you were trying to figure out between these five. Were you thinking already that you wanted to be in the film industry, or what were you thinking?
I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I knew what I didn't want to do. I had an itch. I was like, I want to see what's out there. I kind of want to explore the possibility. I did apply to the theater program for stage management at Emerson in Boston. That was kind of my theater track. And then otherwise, I just kind of applied to, I knew I wanted to do something in kind of communication, the arts, storytelling. So I originally just applied to general communication. DePaul, for some reason, I actually randomly picked broadcast journalism. I can't say that a lot of thought went into that, but that's how I applied.
Yeah. I feel like that's so common, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's really super common to not really know what you want to do. And I think there's a lot of pressure to pick something really early on and be guaranteed success in it in some way. And that was completely unrealistic. And I was pretty aware of that. So I was like, hey, I'm going to look at colleges and I'm going to visit a few. And, you know, I kind of chose DePaul because I was like, it's going to give me the best opportunity to explore all the possibilities that are out there. It's not a narrow focus. It's not a theater conservatory, and I love the city. Mm-hmm. So for me, DePaul, the broader spectrum of DePaul, it not being just an art school, although it having very good arts programs, and then the combination of the city, it was kind of like a playground. I was like, well, let's see what I can do. And then DePaul gave me some scholarship money. So I was like, well, I'll give it a shot.
Like a win-win. Like, I'm going to try this. That's great.
Yeah.
So you kind of mentioned this about like, so exploring, you were like, oh, I wanted to explore possibilities. Mm-hmm. Did you also feel the pressure to kind of know what you wanted to do?
I don't think I felt it as much as some of my friends at that time. Like I've always been pretty driven to figure out whatever I want, even if that's not what everyone else is doing. Probably, you know, in middle school, definitely to an obnoxious point. But like now, or I guess right before college, I was like, well, you know, I don't really know what I want to do. But what I did know is that I wanted to try things. I wanted to explore. I wanted to get out of my comfort zone. Mm. And for me, that was enough. And I think that's something that's really important. Like a lot of people feel the need to really narrow it down. And I think it's also totally okay to be like, hey, you know, I want to explore and have that be a choice. That can totally be a choice. It doesn't have to be a specific type of degree or certification early on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm really trying to challenge that narrative that you have to have it all figured out and that you have, because I mean, none of us do.
Yeah.
You realize that the more you talk to people, I think, but there's so much pressure. There's so much pressure to pick something and to get it right,
mm-hmm.
and then to stick with it. And it just doesn't work like that. So I'm just constantly trying to challenge that narrative. So it's interesting, your perspective too.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. So I would be curious is how did you become interested in creating a business?
You know, my first, so it's interesting. So I kind of feel like I created my first business, even though I didn't know I was doing it, in high school, because I, myself and my dear friend, Noah Clore, we were high school sweethearts back in the day, and now we're not, but we're best friends, and I love him very much. He and I started Boulder High School's Haunted House.
Like,
I don't know, 15, I don't know, 10, 15, whatever it was, a long time ago. And he was into haunted houses, and I was producing and managing, even though I didn't really realize that's what I was doing at the time. And over the course of the 3 years that we ran it, we raised nearly $30,000 for the theater department. And that was a really cool exercise. That was the first time where I was like, hey, I want to create this thing. And I had actually manifested it, you know? And I think some of that is a lot of softball training and a lot of like just practice, 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 and a lot of theater where you're putting on a show, you're creating something on a regular basis. And then my first business, actually, I didn't even start it as a business. It was like a logo. I looked at movies and I saw, you know, Lionsgate or Warner Brothers. And I was like, I probably need a logo if I'm going to make a movie. I need a studio. So I didn't even create it with any sort of business in mind. It was just like, oh, I'm going to create a cool logo and I'm going to name it. And I'm going to brand all this work that I do while I'm in college, because they have all these free resources. So I might as well take advantage of it.
Hell yes. Yes. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it actually kind of started as like building a brand rather than a business. And that brand is still active today. So that's pretty cool.
So was that the Black Apple Media?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of unintentional, but you were like, let me just, like, you wanted to create all these things and you were like, let me just put a brand on it and get access to all these resources while I'm here.
Yeah. And as a producer, specifically in film as a producer, a lot of producers have a company associated with them. So it kind of made sense. And this was, you know, Facebook was kind of taking off and all these other social media platforms. And so I was like, well, how can I didn't want to create a fucking Facebook page for every mediocre short film I did. You know what I mean? Like I wanted to brand it cohesively. And so that's kind of how it started. And to this day, you know, to be totally transparent, like Black Apple only pays me if I only get paid if there's a project we have going on. You know, it's not a continual rotation of paychecks. So it's still living a little bit of a freelance lifestyle.
Yeah. And that's part of being like kind of entrepreneur and like entrepreneurial, like thinking, I think, is having like different streams of revenue coming in, mm-hmm. With different projects that you're passionate about or that you care about or that can make you money either on a recurring basis or like as you can as well.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, it's interesting. For a while, I was trying to put the responsibility of like paying all my bills on independent filmmaking. Like I was really trying to make those work. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's really not a lot of money in independent filmmaking. It's not a thing. And so it took all the joy out of that passion for me, because I was forcing something to work that wasn't quite there. So I finally found, you know, I created Stage 18, which is the nonprofit organization. You know, that helps pay my bills. And I love it. I love working there. But that helps pay my bills. And then I can do a movie, you know, whenever I want.
Right. And it becomes more of a joy and a passion, like you were saying. And it's like the right fit, the right time. You kind of have control over that versus having to accept whatever project just to
right.
Yeah, that's not a fun place to be.
And that's why I say so many, at least in the artistic community, so many people are like, oh God, I got to quit my day job. I got to quit my day job. I'm like, don't quit your day job yet. You know, if need be, get a different day job, like babysitting or hostessing or something that's flexible. Mm-hmm. But don't quit your day job until you're ready. Like, that's the thing that's allowing you to keep your lights on so that you can pursue, right, these other endeavors.
Right. I love this, like, concept of a side hustle to kind of play around with those things, get income.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay, so you were basically just branding your kind of work. Mm-hmm. And then how did you start making money from that? Like, what was that even like?
I don't even know. it was clearly not that intentional at the time.
Which is fascinating, right? You literally just were pursuing what you really were interested in. And
yeah. And not trying to force anything, like having a lot of trust, or I guess blind naivete, maybe, that it would all work out. But I was fortunate where I actually got involved in the independent film community outside of school in Chicago before I transferred into the film program at DePaul. Okay. So I kind of had these parallel tracks going in that sense as well, where I was able to utilize DePaul to make my own content, to safely explore my own voice. And then I was actively freelancing while I was in school on other film sets. So a lot of the money, so how I paid my way through college was I freelanced as a production assistant or a first assistant director or production manager, these kind of crew positions. And eventually, because I did that while I was in school, by the time I graduated, I had kind of risen in the community. So people were willing to pay me to produce. And that's how if you hire me, you hire Black Apple. Like, that's how it goes. My brand just kind of comes with it now.
Yeah. That's awesome. And I mean, I think even though you kind of talk about how you weren't really intentional about creating that business, what I see is that you were really intentional about getting the experiences that you really wanted to grow in and to learn. And I think that's something that a lot of students, and I guess maybe people in general, don't really do. They're not really thinking about like where they can grow or building the connections that they need. They're not necessarily doing it intentionally. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And I think too, I mean, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I'm definitely an opportunity addict. So like, you know,
I love that term. I've never heard that term.
I just made it up. I love it. Okay. I love it too.
Maybe coin that. I'm just saying.
Opportunity addict. You know, so for me, it was more about, I said yes to almost everything. Like, people were like, my first job in Chicago was so weird. It was I was the stage manager for Chicago Tribune's Haunted House, because I had all this weirdly Haunted House experience out of high school.
You're like, I've done this before.
And I was crazy. I had hardly turned 18. I was in the city. I like responded to an ad on Craigslist about a stage manager for a haunted house, went to like a weird warehouse where all these like fake bodies were hanging.
Oh my God.
Like something that your parents would be squeamish about. And I was like, I'm a stage manager. But it worked out. So for me, it was like, I don't know. I've always gravitated towards the idea of creation. And so when I can create something or be a part of something that's being created, that's kind of like my true north. That's like my compass. And so when people are like, hey, do you want to be a part of this movie? Do you want to script supervise? I was like, yes. Like, I wouldn't even know what that is, but I would figure it out. And then I would just show up and give it a shot, you know? And maybe, again, I don't know if that's overconfidence or blunt naivete or whatever, but it's still a philosophy I have today.
Yeah. I mean, I think anytime I like listen or read about like entrepreneurship, I feel like that's exactly what it is, though, is like trying new things, being willing to put yourself out there, saying yes to opportunities.
Yeah. And so much of it too, and this is maybe some life coach speak coming in, but so much of how we operate, especially in Western society, is if something makes us uncomfortable, we want to fix it or we want to move away from it. Mm-hmm. Entrepreneurship is all about leaning into being uncomfortable. So for me, my new thing is like, if it feels risky, if it feels uncomfortable, that's probably the thing I need to do or I need to give it a shot at. And that's really scary, right? But one of my favorite phrases is my, I have a coach and my coach says it to me all the time. He'll say, thanks for being willing to do it afraid. So I will still do it even if it scares me. And then, you know, if shit hits the fan, shit hits the fan. Then you learn from it, you know, you pick yourself up, you cry for a month, you know, I usually eat a lot of ice cream, drink a lot of wine, working on that. but that's how it, what else are you going to do?
Yeah. And I think what's the alternative, right?
Totally. I mean, what are you going to, you're going to be 90 and dying and you're going to be like, oh God, I really, you know, I really wish I played it more safe. I really wish I played it safer. No one's ever said that.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely had that in the back of my mind constantly, is thinking about, you know, where do I want to be in 10 years, 20 years when I if I get to choose when I die, or like, you know, the timing of it or whatever. Yeah. It's like, if I look back, would I regret this moment? Would I, you know, or would I take advantage of this? Would I be regret not taking advantage of this? So yeah. Awesome. So that, I think that's a mindset and a skill, that like just doing it afraid, do it afraid, do it afraid. You have, if a student was listening to this and they're thinking about like starting a business in college, or maybe even after college, what are the skills or mindset, what other like skills or mindset do you think would be helpful, when it comes to just kind of going out on your own, creating something new?
Sure. I think for me, you don't have to do it alone. It's cool if you can, but all of these things I'm talking about, I've had partners in some capacity, or mentorship in some capacity. You know, I think for me, everyone has a different relationship to failure. For me, I like to fail faster. So I like to try it and know immediately and know if it works or not, and then move on to the next thing. Some people like to plan for a really long time and then launch something, right? And either is fine. You can operate either way. But I think what often happens is the idea of, oftentimes in entrepreneurs, the concept of doing it, quote unquote, the right way, or getting it perfect, or launching your business or branding your business in the perfect way, inhibits you from actually doing it. So my advice is, you know, if you're thinking about it, it's so easy these days to build your own brand. Maybe start there, you know, brand it, see what happens, see if there's a need for it, and talk with people about it, share it, ask for help. But success is based on action, not intent. So you can intend to do something for a long ass time, but you're only, you know, going to find that success if you give it a shot.
Yeah, that's so real. So you kind of said something about like creating something and just seeing if there's a need for it. Mm-hmm. And I want to learn more about stage 18. That's right. Yep. Because when I like read the description on it, I was like, oh my gosh, this sounds amazing. And when I think about people, I don't know, the way that it was worded, it just seemed like it really mattered to you.
Yeah.
So can you share a little bit about what stage 18 is?
So I'll give you the spiel and then I'll give you the story. So Stage 18 Chicago is a nonprofit organization that provides community education, resources, office space, and access to capital for independent filmmakers and entrepreneurs. We've been active since 2015. I am the co-founder along with Alex Pisios, who's the president of CineSpace Film Studios here in Chicago, which is the big studio warehouse down on the south side. And for me, you know, forming Stage 18 was kind of my own way of breaking through my own glass ceiling. I felt like I had kind of hit a cap in Chicago because the film industry was just starting to grow again. It had been pretty dead until about halfway through my college career. And I was like, well, there's no mentorship, there's no producers here. And everyone felt very siloed. So I had a relationship with CineSpace, and I was like, well, maybe we can. This was before, by the way, this was before like co-working spaces were cool. I would just like to say that I predated the coolness of the co-working spaces that's popped up in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I know all these filmmakers because I've been working with them for years and they're so segregated. There's no like physical hub where people can meet to aggregate, to host events, to discuss, et cetera. And if you're an independent producer, you know, asking an investor for money at Starbucks kind of sucks. It'd be nice to ask that money in like an office. So it was really me and my friends that took over an empty office wing of the studio and kind of started Stage 18 in 2015. And there was a need for it. People wanted office space. People wanted to be together. And so slowly it grew, and it's continuing to grow and do a lot of really cool things. So that's been really rewarding because I don't know that I knew what it was going to be. I still don't know that I know what it's going to be in 5 years. And I think that that flexibility as an entrepreneur is really important because I think sometimes that we get so rigid. There's this rigidity, yes, that's how you say it. There's this rigidity that happens when we have this idea and we're like, this is how it's going to be. And unless we like hit this thing, we're not successful, right? And we're working so hard to this vision. And I think flexibility for me and continually evolving Stage 18 and the other companies I've been a part of has been super beneficial.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think that's really cool that you saw a need and then you were like, let's just see if we can do this.
And you know, part of that is like, there's a little bit of, you know, balls there too. Like I, you know, when I reached out to Alex originally, when at CineSpace was how we first met, he was the president of the studio and I was a student at DePaul and I was like, I'm a producer. I would like a tour, you know. I had no business calling myself a producer. But we met and then, you know, a lot of that was myself managing the relationship and keeping in contact with him until he came to me and he's a Greek man. He's lovely. And he says, oh, Angie, I want you to start an incubator. And that was like the direction I got. And so yeah. We rolled with it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
Now, and that's really cool because you probably just reached out to that person and you had no clue what was going to come of it, right? But you're just trying to put your feelers out there. You're trying to put yourself out there. Was there a time when you were in college that now you can think about like, wow, this thing led to this thing, led to this thing, but you would never have created that yourself, even if it was you tried to?
Sure. I mean, I would say that thing. So I... like the biggest one is I was working on producing a project at DePaul for a faculty member, like a short film. Mm-hmm. And we needed a crappy warehouse to film it. And CineSpace had just moved to town, the studio. And so I was like, maybe they have warehouse space. So I reached out to him. This must have been 2011, 2012, maybe. And we met and I brought all these DePaul students and these professors over there. We ended up filming there.
Yeah.
And that actually kicked off a whole relationship between DePaul and CineSpace.
Oh my gosh. So now they still have that?
Yeah. So now Stage 18 is at CineSpace, but DePaul actually has two full sound stages at CineSpace.
Oh, you did that. That is so wild.
I was a catalyst it was a small catalyst.
Yeah.
I can't take full credit. There was a lot of folks had to come together to make that happen. But it, you know, it certainly was a part of it.
Right.
And so suddenly I look back and I'm like, wow, like this, I met Alex in, you know, 2011 and we filmed our short and then nothing until 2014, end of 2014, early 2015. So in that time period, I was just keeping in touch, cultivating that relationship. Who knows what's going to come of it, right?
Right.
But now it's really cool to look back and be like, wow, like, all of these things are connected in this way. Like one action or one moment of courage can set off a bountiful, an endless amount of opportunity and possibility.
Oh, I love that. Yes. And I think it's so important to try and like put yourself in situations and to like you were doing all the things like trying to create things and trying to gain experiences and skills and create like actual projects and, mm-hmm. and films. And as you're doing that, you're like attracting people who are also doing that work and who are also interested in doing that. And then you take opportunities when they come.
Right. And not totally always knowing where they're going to go. Right. Yeah. It's like, well, I guess I'm just going to give it a shot.
Right.
You know, and really always trying to focus on the possibility of what would happen if this went really well, rather than all of the things that could go wrong. Because that's where most people get stuck. It's where I get stuck a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, thinking about you could have just said, well, let's just do it at this weird place. Let's just not even do it at a warehouse.
Right.
Right. Let's just try to do it somewhere else. And yeah. That's so weird. Oh, it's so awesome.
It's really cool. It's really, yeah, it's cool to look back.
When you graduated, did you already have like kind of a business and like money coming in? Like, what was that like? Or were you feeling?
I mean, when I graduated, I had a brand, right? It wasn't necessarily to the point where I was bringing in regular income.
Okay.
I was fortunate enough to freelance for a producer friend of mine in when I was in my senior year of college. I spent half my senior year of college in LA. But before that, I freelanced for a producer who's freelancing for The Onion. And so that's how that connection started. And then when I came back from Los Angeles, they basically, while I was still in school and about to graduate, I was working almost full time for The Onion.
Wow.
And then when I graduated, they offered me a full time position before I graduated. So it was kind of this crazy, like, you know, you look back and you think about, to your point, all the things that made that happen. And I, you know, I jumped at it. I got really burnt out after about a year and a half. It was a pretty steep learning curve for me. And it was a lot of independent film productions. It was a lot of hard work. But, you know, what I learned there is invaluable. So I don't even remember what your question was now, but that's, I hope that answers.
I'm not sure I do either. I was like lost in the story. Sorry. Good. So if you were to think back about yourself as a college student, what advice would you give you?
Chill out. That's what I would tell myself. You know, I've always been a workaholic, so I worked a lot in college, and I love working, so I just kept working. You know, I think I worked to the point of it being detrimental to like my health and my well-being. Mm-hmm. And if I could give myself any college advice, it would be like, put your well-being and your health and your comfort first and have more fun. Because I know everyone's on that spectrum differently. Some people probably have way too much fun in college and don't do shit.
Right.
And if that's you, that's okay, man. All the power to you. But for me, I was on the other end of the spectrum. So I worked too hard and I didn't, I didn't really take care of myself. And I didn't, I look back and I'm like, God, like, Angie, why did you stay in and like study this essay when you could have been out at this event? And part of that is, as a filmmaker, your job is to tell stories. And you can't tell stories if you're just studying the art of filmmaking all the goddamn time. Like, you have to go out and experience life in order to be able to portray it and reflect on it. So that's what I would tell myself.
Yeah, I love that. And that's really hard to do, especially, I mean, I think even, I don't know if you still experience that, because I like love my work too. Mm-hmm. I love working with students. I think it's like the most fun thing. And
yeah, totally.
I love reading about it, and I listen to podcasts about it, and I talk about it with my friends.
You create like, podcasts about it. Yeah,
exactly. I'm just like obsessed. And I think I have a hard time with that too. I could work all the time, mm-hmm. because I really enjoy it. And I think that's like such a huge, I think, blessing in life, because we do have work that's yeah. really meaningful to us. But yeah. it's like also, I think students are so disconnected from that. And I think what I am hearing is that you found those connections at DePaul, like you found those, and then you started kind of following those little things that really energized you and really yeah. helped you use your creativity.
Totally. So many of the colleagues I still work with are students at DePaul. Like so many of the mm-hmm. folks who have offices at Stage 18, we work together. A lot of close colleagues and really wonderful. I worked with an awesome producer named Kevin McRail for a long time in my college career, and he's doing big things now. I think he's working on Fargo, cool. which is filming here now. So it's cool. You know, it's you don't really realize how meaningful those connections are until you're a few years outside of school.
Right. And that's where it's like, trust the process. Like, and if you can just be attracted to the things that really energize you and really, I think, help you use the skills that you really like enjoy using. Like for yeah. you, it was like this creativity. It was this kind of creating something new. It was telling stories, like you were saying. And you were just kept being drawn to those types of things and then getting those experiences. So that's awesome. So just to kind of wrap up, I'd love for you to share, like, what's the one project that you are so freaking excited about either starting or like just diving into, I don't know, something that either is what you're currently working on or something that you plan to work on or start in the next 6 months to a year.
Sure. So I didn't even mention this, but because, you know, God forbid I only have four jobs at once. My husband and I, in the spirit of entrepreneurship, my husband and I are actually currently in negotiations to purchase a building here in Chicago that would be an arts and wellness center.
What?
So we're, it's not set in stone yet. So the next week will be kind of stressful. We'll see how it shakes out. But through my husband's also in the film community here, and through our communities, we've built up like a really wonderful connection with a big therapy group in town. Like we both go to therapy. We go to couples therapy. I go to therapy. He goes to therapy. I have a coach. I have a psychiatrist. Like if you name it, I probably have it. And I have no shame about that.
Yeah.
Because well-being, I think, is specifically in the arts is so not addressed. Mm-hmm. But the building, so we're in negotiations on a real estate deal, which is a whole new thing for me. So it's yeah. been a learning curve. But we, looks like if it goes through, we'll have a big arts collective in there. We'll have a therapy group. We'll have a local theater. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited to see, to be able to leverage the community that we've built over the past decade into something like this and see how it shakes out. It's very scary. As of the recording of this podcast, I will have to finance that real estate deal and find a lot of money in the next couple weeks, but we're going to give it a shot, see what yeah. happens. That's probably what I'm really excited about right now.
And what would you want that to bring to like the world?
I hope a bigger prioritization of mental health and well-being in the same way that we prioritize fitness and exercise. And as I think that service is really needed for creatives and entrepreneurs, just based on my own experience. So I hope that there becomes I hope that we can build kind of a little community where that is destigmatized and that is really embraced and considered, you know, a part of ourselves, in addition to creating awesome stories, because we have this artist group and this theater here. So I'm excited to see what stories we can tell.
Yeah. And like molding that together, it makes you yeah. feel like if you can share those stories more. And that's one of the reasons why I created this podcast too, was because I felt like people were telling me their stories one-on-one. And I'm sure you're kind of hearing this too. Like people sure. are struggling with their mental health or like not taking care of themselves holistically. Yeah. And when you see that over and over again, you're like, I have to do something.
Yeah.
And you have skills that can actually help move that forward.
Totally.
And share those stories. So I think that's amazing. And so I am totally supportive of you. That's amazing. Let us know how we can help.
Thank you. Yes, of course.
So where can people find you or connect with you?
Yeah, I'm totally open to connection. My website is just my name, angiegaffney.com. On there is my Instagram, my Medium. I just launched a blog as well, which is all about, I talk about the voices in my head in a fun way. So it's kind of a take on the well-being aspect.
Yeah.
Feel free to check it out. But everything is on AngieGaffney.com. Feel free to shoot me a note if you're looking for advice or want to connect. I'd love to.
That's awesome. And have you ever considered having like an interns, like college students interns?
Yeah, we have interns all the time. Yeah.
Do you ever open that up to people outside of Chicago?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So they can maybe connect with you on that if they're interested.
Yeah. And you know, the great thing about being an entrepreneur is there aren't a lot of rules. So I'm flexible.
Awesome. So okay.
If you're interested, yeah. We can figure it out.
Yeah. Awesome. And I'll share your Instagram and your website on the show notes as well.
So okay, cool.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I like really appreciate it. I think you're amazing. And thank you so much for sharing your story.
Oh my God. Of course. Thank you for having me.
Holy shit. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Isn't Angie a badass? Like, holy crap. I love her. There are a few things that I just want you to take away from this episode that Angie talked about. And the first one was, she said, I have all these free resources, so I might as well take advantage of it. And what she was talking about was all these resources that she has at DePaul. You also have all these amazing resources at your fingertips. Make sure you are using them. Whenever I tell you to use your resources, this is exactly what I mean. Angie was doing the damn thing. I also want to say that she talks a lot about actually taking action. And you know that I say this over and over and over again. And it's something that we constantly have to remind ourselves. So I'm constantly going to be reminding you, because we don't go for what we want for a lot of different reasons. But success is based on action, not intent. I'm going to say that again, because she said this in the episode, but I think it's such an important thing that we need to keep repeating. Success is based on action, not intent. You can intend to do all the great things in the world, but if you don't do them, it's just a thought. It's just an intention. So get out there and start taking action. Another quote that I wanted to share from Angie: one action or one moment of courage can set off a bountiful and endless amount of opportunity and possibility. This is so awesome and so inspiring. And I hope that you see this. I hope that you can see that there are so many possibilities out there and so many opportunities, but you have to take advantage of them. And it's time to start. This is your call. It's time to start now. If you loved Angie, make sure that you show her some love on her Instagram. Go tell her that you heard this episode and you wanted to connect. You can also check out her website, which I will link in the show notes. So make sure that you connect with her. She's amazing. And also, if you want to do an internship with her, you should totally reach out and see if you can make it happen. This is the time to do it. Reach out and see if you can make it happen. I hope that you have an excellent week. I love you all so much, and I'll catch you in the next one.